Hello everyone, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler. Joining the discourse on this special episode is Dave.
Hello.
Jason.
Hi.
And Melissa.
Good day to you.
Excuse me. I need some water already.
You sound a little parched, my dude.
Too much.
Like your whole throat is like a dead zone.
Ugh, too much pre-chat. Wasted all the juice.
It'll kill ya.
This is a special episode of this show, because typically we're watching episodes of the hit anime Dragon Ball Z, but this time we're watching the first Dragon Ball movie, which is called Dead Zone.
First Dragon Ball Z movie.
Thank you. That is an important distinction. There were three Dragon Ball movies prior to this.
That's so many.
Dragon Ball Z has 13.
So many.
A lot.
I don't know if we'll watch all of them. Not all of them are relevant to the TV show.
No. Or even good.
You
know.
You could argue that's the more important point.
Yeah. This is true.
We get it.
Does anybody have any favorite anime adaptations that were turned into movies? Or carried over into movies? I know that it is a common phenomenon for sort of popular anime to get feature releases.
I mean, it's kind of nuts when you go into the movie theater and realize that you're not sitting down for an animated fun Disney flick, but you're actually going to watch a Digimon.
Yes. You're actually going to watch War Games.
You're actually going to watch anime, or isn't the Digimon movie just three?
Yeah.
Three OVAs mashed together into a movie?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Didn't catch any of that.
And paired together with Angela Anaconda.
Yes, ma'am! Angela Anacondamon, absolutely. I died and I lived. The localization on that was absolutely nuts.
Angela Anaconda?
Of the whole movie. This is that Buck Wild time where we don't need to make the most accurate localization efforts, where we can just kind of say things like meow.com. We can just kind of have Smash Mouth show up, and it's fine.
Sure.
Because you're 12, and it's great.
We can have Len sing Kids in America.
We can.
I don't have all that much of a history with anime to be have been paying attention to things like this, but I do remember very vividly dragging my parents to see Yu-Gi-Oh! The Pyramid of Light when it was released in Western theaters.
Ooh, I didn't know that got the theater release.
I definitely did.
I was a big fan of that Pokemon movie, but it came with special cards and toys at your local Burger King, AKFC.
Yeah, it did.
Hell yeah.
Do you still have that fancy card? Anybody?
God, it's probably somewhere.
Sold that fancy card when I went to college.
Hell yeah.
Oh, wow. You know I got all them KFC plushes, though. That's the real deal.
Oh, those are... I cannot let go of those babies.
The most iconic. What did they pick? Zubat, Seal, Dratini, and Vulpix.
I gotta have my Dratini and my Vulpix. Those are my babies.
I mean, I get it.
So on this podcast, we talk about Pokemon.
That's
why I said that.
Actually, I just hijacked the whole thing and talked about the Sailor Moon movies, because they're all pretty good.
Please do.
There's three of them. One for each of the second, third, and fourth seasons, respectively, that have nothing to do with the seasons. They're standalone stories.
Okay. But they have their own plots.
But they have their own plots.
It's not like a rehash of stuff that's already happened.
Correct. They're original stories.
That's refreshing.
Yeah. And they're all good in their own ways. I think the best movie, perhaps, is the first one. The Sailor Moon R movie is maybe the best. Second one feels just kind of like a long episode. It doesn't feel quite as, like, movie-ish to me. And then the third one is just weird and cool.
Do you have a personal favorite?
I love all my children.
Hard to pick.
I will say, though, in anime movie retellings, I think the most interesting one for me is Escaflowne.
Okay.
which I don't know if anybody else partook in.
I've seen some of the series. I did not see the movie.
Yeah.
So if you go by traditional shoujo shonen classifications of anime, Escaflowne is a mecha shoujo anime.
Okay.
Would you say it's the first of its kind?
I hope it's not the last. And then for the movie, they decided, well, let's redo the series, but shonen. And in doing so, let's just take everybody's character personalities and crank it to 11.
Interesting. Oh.
So where Hitomi is, like, kind of bummed out in the series, she's, like, straight up suicidal in the movie.
Woof.
And Vaughn, who is, like, this kind of rough around the edges guy in the series, is a barbarian in the movie. So it's an interesting take.
I guess they figured, like, we don't have as much time to sort of develop these characteristics. We need to quickly establish what everybody's about.
Yeah, because there is a lot that happens in that show, and it's very good, and I would recommend it to anyone. But, the movies, I enjoyed it for what it was. I like the series better, but I think that's a personal take. It still has Yoko Kanno music, so you can't go wrong there.
I suppose if you're going to talk about anime and anime movies, like, there might be some merit to you. You would probably want to talk about, like, the kind of compressed movie adaptations of Berserk and Evangelion.
But, sure.
Like, I don't know if anyone here is really qualified to talk about those.
I've only ever read Berserk. I've never watched any of it.
I've not seen Evangelion, but I watched all the new movies and enjoyed the hell out of them.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that they're doing with that. I never actually watched Death and Rebirth all the way through. I watched all of the series, and then I started watching Death and Rebirth and said, I've seen this already. And stopped, not realizing that there was some new stuff in it. And then just went straight to End of Evangelion.
Now you can watch the whole series on Netflix, right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm gonna do that.
Oh, yeah.
That was recently added, I think.
Or I think it's maybe not yet, but it's going to be.
It's coming.
Yeah.
I saw something about it.
Depending on when you're listening to this episode, Evangelion may or may not be on Netflix.
Topical and up to date. Are we hep with the youths of today?
The benefit, Melissa, to having 13 movies instead of 3 is that I can absolutely pick my children.
Which ones get what for Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's getting socks?
Dead Zone, I would rank somewhere in the middle, personally.
Mm.
Jason, you had a VHS copy.
Yes. The
famous VHS copy of Dead Zone.
Yeah, we're finally opening up our VHS copy of Dead Zone. Mm-hmm. This is something I either had, borrowed from a friend, or just rented constantly from Blockbuster because I can't find it anymore. But I know I watched the heck out of this over and over again, and because of a specific part, I know that I had a copy of the Ocean Dub.
I was going to say, you probably had the Ocean Dub.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Also worth noting, before we get started on this version of Dead Zone, this is the Funimation dub, which they did much later, after they had completed the series, and when they were sort of re-releasing stuff on DVD. I think this was, like, part of a collection, even, of, like, 3 movies. Probably the first 3 that they had to redub.
I was gonna ask about that, actually.
Yeah. Because the Ocean Crew did do the first 3 movies, which were Dead Zone, World's Strongest, and Tree of Might. The aforementioned Tree of Might.
Our most important source for canon.
Yep.
The pamphlet from Tree of Might.
Exactly. So you'll notice there's no new metal in this version. There's just Japanese music.
Oh no.
There's no Blink 182 or anything like that.
What a shame.
Sadly.
There's just subtitles over instrumental music.
Exactly.
Mm. Let's get to that, shall we? I want to talk about that.
All right, let's kick off Dead Zone. We begin with Waves and Rocks, as all these toy animation films do.
Let's not forget the Japanese title of Dead Zone.
Oh, please.
Roughly translates to Dragon Ball Z, the movie. But later, the title changed because they decided to make something other than just calling it Dragon Ball Z.
We have a Star War.
Basically, the new hope here is Dragon Ball Z. Return my Gohan!
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's pretty good. So we get our waves and rocks, and the very first shot of animation that we see is Piccolo doing a holler.
I watched this at the end of a very long day, and this was just what I needed. this amazing Piccolo face.
There is something poetic about the first Dragon Ball Z movie starting this way.
Yeah.
You know what you're in for.
Yeah.
We know exactly what kind of movie we're making.
If you don't like it, just get out now.
Yeah. It's courteous of them, is what it is.
Truly.
It's going to be hollers all the way down.
He blows up some rocks, and he says, "Damn it, Goku, I'm going to beat you up someday." More or less. I might be paraphrasing.
Does this pick up from a specific moment in Dragon Ball?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, if we want to place it in a timeline, it would be directly after Dragon Ball ends. And before Dragon Ball Z begins.
Yeah,
because
they talk about the World Martial Arts Tournament. Yeah. And Goku is an adult, so.
Right.
I just didn't know, it's so in media res.
Right.
That I didn't know if I was supposed to recognize this moment from a previous episode.
Yeah, to my knowledge, the last episode of Dragon Ball doesn't end this way. So I'm not sure, but
you'd probably remember if it did.
Right. It's been a while since I've watched Dragon Ball in its entirety. We do see some weird figures running in the air towards Piccolo, though. And he gets jumped by three shadowy figures that start beating the crap out of him.
At first I thought this was one person using the multiform technique. It was kind of ironic.
Hoisted by his own technique.
By which you mean Tien's technique, right?
Exactly.
Right.
That's not here, so I have to...
Hold down the fort.
Yeah.
A fourth figure watches on from the sidelines. Seems like a very beefy boy. Piccolo shouts something about, like, "I'll get you for this." And they blow him up.
Wow. I can't believe Piccolo dies before Dragon Ball Z even happens.
Yeah, it's crazy. Kami thinks that Goku did it for, like, half a second. I'm not sure why.
Is that ever explained, why he thinks that?
I don't think so.
No.
Melissa, is there anything different in the Japanese?
Not really. It's just kind of like, did Goku do
I suppose he couldn't see how anyone else could have done it. So.
Also, Kami realizes this must be before they decided that Kami and Piccolo's life link would be established.
Say, yeah.
Because Piccolo's definitely dead. Yep, I'm still here, but...
That was one of Matt's most important notes that he passed on to me, because he could not be with us tonight. But he wanted to point out, like, clearly this is before they decided that they were linked, because Kami wouldn't, like, have to guess. He would just know Piccolo is dead. But also, if they were linked, why didn't Kami die when King Piccolo died?
Oh, yeah.
Why is he linked to Ma Junior?
Right.
It's a Ma Junior. I don't know, maybe it passed on?
I guess.
Some way?
So that just further complicates the Piccolo, Kami, King Piccolo dynamic.
Because it needed to be more complicated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we get the intro. Same old intro. Those Saiyans are gonna get ya.
Same old
but
intro.
But this time there's sing-along song captions.
Yeah. Only captions.
Yeah, I had to. I could not abide those captions. I had to switch over to the Japanese to get my cha-la.
Well, yeah, that's your problem, Jay, because then you don't get to see just in a void with no context of any kind, just the phrases, "The Earth, having been kicked in the face, gets angry. Angry! And the emptier your head is, the more room there is to pack with dreams."
I love that lyric a lot.
Well, obviously, like... that's what Goku was talking about with the sport drink, which is that, yeah. You know, it needs to be less, you want to drink things that are less filling so you have more room for dreams in there.
Exactly.
That lyric, like, just encapsulates what Goku fully is.
We cut over to the San family household, and Gohan is outside reading his favorite bug book. I think we've seen it before.
Probably. Under that weird ceiling fan.
The like homemade mechanical clockwork ceiling fan that he made for himself.
Yeah, he absolutely built that himself.
I love Gohan. But now the delivery here is very important.
Yes.
He's talking about how like it's crazy that some cicadas are larvae for 13 years or something. And he's like, that's just crazy. I couldn't do it. Which I think is a healthy attitude to have towards things.
That's a thing that, like, a 4-year-old would think about. I couldn't do that.
That's impressive.
I'm only this many.
They must have practiced real hard to be able to be larvae for 13 years.
Yeah. You don't get... You can't get regular lunch that way.
No home-cooked meals. Chi-Chi calls him in for dinner, but Ox King swings by, interrupting this, and he has a stack of presents for Gohan. And they're all books.
He seems to be complaining that they're too heavy, and... He's the Ox King.
It's a lot of books.
I guess.
He's the Ox King a few decades into retirement.
Gohan is only able to read those books just wherever they landed. They never move.
He begins dropping all of his shit on Gohan's head. And Chi-Chi thinks it's like a funny goof at first. But then Ox King appears to be in distress.
I think they start to think he was having a heart attack.
Yeah, it kind of looks like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that shit freaked me out as a kid.
He drops down, and apparently a hooded figure was lurking behind him and did something to make him do this, and this hooded figure is looking for the Dragon Balls.
Gohan starts freaking out, and he's so cute.
He does a little kid dance. Mm-hmm. And pulling his hat down.
Yeah.
Aww. The hat with the fully functional Gohan Dragon Ball on it that is not stone, because Kami and Piccolo aren't dead.
Right.
Okay,
also,
you brought
who
it
thought
up.
This was a good idea?
Yeah, I was gonna ask, is it established why it's a good idea to put this incredibly powerful artifact on a 4-year-old's head?
Because Goku said so.
Oh.
Well, who's gonna tell
safekeeping.
Him no?
I mean, he does have a lot of dreams in that empty head.
One of them was to make a hat with a ball on it.
What a visionary.
He has checked it off the list. The hooded figure has two friends with him. One of them is already inside the house, and he loves apples.
Oh, he loves them.
This starts to happen.
Yeah, that's Chi-Chi's fruit. Thank you. That's our fruit.
She picked
it
herself.
I think that's at least as big a deal as King Yemma's fruit.
If I fucking like get haunted by dreams and Freddy Krueger got a delicious honey crisp on each of those little pointy claw fingers, I'd be like, hey, that's fucking mine. You go to Kroger's and get produce before you stab me.
Hey,
how about
bud,
that?
Those are my vitamins?
Yeah.
We don't know their names yet, but we do eventually learn their names, and I'll just say it now so I can refer to them correctly.
Yeah.
The first one, the one that toppled Ox King, is Ginger.
Mm-hmm.
The one with the apples is Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is Sancho.
Surprisingly, this is the same across both English and Japanese.
Yep, did not feel a need to change those.
No. Nikki being Japanese for cinnamon, and Sancho being the translation for Szechuan pepper.
Hmm. Spices. Mm-hmm.
A lot of spices.
Spicy boys.
Chi-Chi tries to fend them off.
This was my favorite animation of the entire movie.
Where she fucking gets into her stance.
Yeah, this animation on Chi-Chi, I'm done.
Son Chi-Chi's gonna kick some ass tonight.
Sadly, the other guys can do ki, so she gets brushed away pretty easily. She tried.
GG, Chi-Chi.
Goku, who is out fishing, senses their distress.
He's out fishing and naked.
Much like the beginning of Dragon Ball, just the desolation of a massive carp.
And Goku's whole butt.
The whole butt.
All of it.
Every inch.
Well, also, like, the very first shot of him that we get as it cuts to him is he's underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And so my brain just immediately processed it as he's in the healing tank still.
Yeah, I have the exact same thought.
Far away in the future, in the healing tank, he senses something is wrong.
Yeah, I'm healed!
Yeah.
He races back to his house, but he finds that Gohan has already been taken and that Chi-Chi doesn't know who did it.
but that they wanted the Dragon Ball.
They wanted the Dragon Ball.
And so they took the child attached to the Dragon Ball.
For some reason.
For some reason, yeah.
He was holding onto that hat awful tight.
That's true.
You're right.
It wasn't worth it.
It's got quite a grip for a four-year-old. We learn that he has been kidnapped by Garlic Jr., who is commanding these guys around, and that he wants to wish for immortality, because who doesn't?
Sure.
Well, this movie gives us some information about that.
Yeah.
About that issue, I think, which I appreciate.
Can we talk about how Garlic Jr., you know, he bears a certain resemblance.
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Does he even have the same voice actor?
In English.
Yeah. I'm of course referring to Emperor Pilaf from the original Dragon Ball. He's like a scarier, fucked up looking Pilaf's cousin.
Yeah, he's a Pilaf who has like liver spots on his head.
Yeah.
Today, for the very first time, I saw Pilaf on a menu in a restaurant. And I was like, whoa.
It's a food.
Yeah. I really should have, by context clues, I should have known that already.
It is a Toriyama character,
yeah, given where I was familiar with the word from, but that was novel to me.
Of course, instead of Shu and Mei and delightful dolts populating his castle, he gets an army of just absolute goblinoid cretins.
He's got spooky demon guys.
Inhabiting his unbelievably sick palace.
It is a cool looking palace.
Like, I want to play a Dark Souls level that is this place.
Yeah, welcome to Albemarle Castle. Where is it?
I don't know. Apparently it's on Earth.
I guess it's on Earth because Goku can get to it without...
Yeah.
Without leaving the planet. He just rides the cloud over.
There's weird stuff going on like the dark side of Dragon World that nobody likes talk about.
Remember when this used to be fucking demons and mystical shit?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this shit is all about.
Technically, it still is, because Raditz hasn't shown up yet.
Yeah, you're right.
These are like the places that Dr. Reese didn't care about when he went to build his, you know, utopian arcologies.
Bulma.
That's his elephant graveyard.
Yeah, everything the light touches, Bulma.
Except that spooky shit over there. Only go there if a Dragon Ball is there. Goku goes to get the radar from Bulma so that he can track Gohan. I guess that's why you put it on your child's head.
Yeah, I guess.
It's a tracking device.
That's fancy tracker. Yeah.
As long as you're associated with Bulma, it's the best tracking device possible.
Siri, find Gohan. Siri, return my Gohan!
Goku's reminded by his friends that these guys who took Gohan also defeated Piccolo. I guess they know.
All right, to set the stakes.
Yeah, so watch yourself. They're probably pretty tough.
Well, we couldn't have Yamcha in here to get his ass kicked to set the bar.
With short notice.
He was busy. Yeah.
So he sets off on his own. Doesn't bring Krillin with him.
Yeah,
softly says goodbye.
Yeah, he looks off like wistfully, like a husband going off to war.
Yeah.
Dearest Abigail, it's been 240 days since I've gone to the dead zone.
Back at Garlic's castle, Nikki has been placed in charge of watching Gohan, but he's doing kind of a shit job because Gohan's a squirrely little kid.
Yeah, well, full-on...
I think it's more that he's just a kid, period.
Yeah.
Like, this guy does not seem to understand, like...
Children?
Like, the basic idea of children.
Yeah.
The concept?
He's been put in charge of Gohan because Garlic Jr., like everybody else in this series, I guess, can sense Gohan's hidden potential and wants him to become his new disciple.
Yeah, he is into it.
Yeah.
Quick aside, what spice name would we have to give to young Gohan to fully induct him into the Garlic Jr. boys?
This is a great question.
This is the most important question anyone's ever asked, Jay.
Okay, think about this. Gohan is like rice, right? Mm-hmm. Like the name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-oh. I didn't know that. I learned a lot of things about food today. Thanks, Dragon Ball.
Stay tuned. So what's a good rice spice?
Rice spice?
Yeah,
right. What's a good rice spice?
I mean, there's the, shit, I can't think of the word. Furikake.
Furikake?
Yeah, the seasoning that you put on rice. It's like sesame seeds and... God, I'm bad with the words. It's a good thing I'm recording a podcast.
I never heard of this.
Sesame seeds and seaweed, and then, like, there's different flavors of it. So there's some that have like egg in it, or some that it's like shrimp flavor or whatever.
That sounds all right.
Everybody sort of thinks about food today.
Don't mind if I do. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Got it in one.
He becomes the seasoning on rice. He becomes furikake. Or Fury for short.
Gohan finds himself a curious looking apple.
And, oh, it's worth mentioning, just real quick, when Nikki is running after Gohan, in the dub, Gohan's like, I want to go home.
Yeah.
But in the Japanese, he's just like, ah, I'm running around.
This is my thing now.
Yeah, he's not really concerned with his situation at all.
It's very much like, the best of it. Like mommy had to bring Gohan along for errands, and Gohan is not adapted to this space, so he's just running around this bank.
So he gets this apple, but Nikki warns him not to eat it.
Because it'll make you weird.
It'll make you weird. That's what they say in English.
What do they say in Japanese? Yeah,
they actually. They do use the word inebriated in the Japanese version.
Okay, that's still an understatement, I think.
It's a crunk apple.
Yeah, I think... I think Japan has like fewer scruples about depicting alcohol
about drunk
in
minors.
Anime.
You say that, but I mean, we've all seen Dumbo, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
We don't care if elephants do it.
It was a different time.
Yeah,
a different king.
I wonder if live action Dumbo is going to get wasted.
Oh my god!
I saw those pink elephants in the trailer.
Sure.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
They're going to get weird.
Speaking of, Gohan gets weird.
Oh, how long has that thing been fermenting on the tree, bud? Oh, that's a mealy mouthfeel there.
It appears to pack a punch.
All I wrote down for this entire sequence was just the word, and then, and then this is some Meet the Pyro shit.
I was gonna say he has a dancing pink Gohan scene.
Yeah,
pink lipped alligator moment.
He does start to see a bunch of stuff that ain't there, and is dancing around. And in Japanese, he gets a song.
It's
in
a
English,
whole song.
We just get sort of the background music.
Yeah, this song, by the way, is called Tenkaichi Gohan. fun fact.
It's the number one Gohan under the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And it is sung by Gohan.
Awesome,
mm-hmm. Interesting.
And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
They tease you in the dub. They just give you the subtitles.
Like, this is something that I gave a pass to when I was a kid, but like looking at it now, I'm like, why would I abide with like 2 minutes of like no lyrics over this? Like, did they not want to confuse their young English audience by introducing a song in another
Japanese
language?
By introducing the concept of music?
Yeah.
It would be confusing.
We're not sure if they have music in the West. Better mm-hmm. be careful.
This whole sequence is to remind you we've got budget!
Dave.
Yes?
Did you happen to pick out any of the lyrics, specifically?
Not in this part.
Okay.
I was taken aback.
I'm gonna need you to take your pencil out, because I have another AU for you.
Oh no, okay.
The end of the song, the last lyric, is I am the greatest genius under the sun, and I would like an AU where Gohan devotes his life to scholarly pursuits in order to challenge Dr. Briefs for the throne.
Oh, God.
Oh.
As the greatest genius.
How does this interact with our other AU where Bulma becomes a galactic super intellect?
It's a show that becomes a lot less about punching and a lot more about people like speed reading.
Well, no, the real challenge is to see if you can somehow keep it about punching.
That is a challenge.
It's like, you know, I feel like there's some kind of meat there where, like, you know, Goku just randomly starts spontaneously developing powers just from working out really hard. And, like, yeah, maybe that's some sort of a universal principle. And so everybody, all these galactic super intellects just become unbelievably buff and devote their time to getting as many gains as possible in the hopes that it will manifest them new psychic techniques.
To further add some juice to the ambition that Gohan would be to truly become the Tenkaichi of the universe, one of the lyrics translates to, the earth starts to dance and the volcanoes start to sing. They erupt with a boom blooming into big fireworks, and those fields of flowery light spread to the ends of the universe.
Where can I get one of those apples?
They will make you very weird.
Gohan devotes his life to scholarly arts and challenges Dr. Briefs.
Okay.
Garlic Jr.'s other minions find the final two Dragon Balls. So now it's time for Garlic to get his wish.
I noted that at this point in the dub, we still don't know what anybody's name is.
So I don't know how we're gonna get by here. There's no Oolong to wish for panties this time.
Yeah, I hope this guy doesn't get his evil wish.
Oolong doesn't that would appear be the in worst. This, in this movie, does he?
Not unless he showed up in the hallucinations.
Just the only just wistful Civil War husband Krillin.
No, as you pointed out on the Discord, Jason, the only one appearing in the hallucination was apparently Gritty.
Dragon Ball movie. It called the shots from way out.
There's the score.
Garlic Jr. gets his wish. He becomes immortal. It sort of like warps his body a bit. It's cool
it
looking
looks like
animation.
It hurt.
Yeah.
This is quite a thing that happens here. Like, I've been wondering all along why everyone seems to think that not being able to die is such a big deal. And apparently not being able to die is just, like, the first and arguably least important thing that being immortal gets you. It also, like, apparently gives you the ability to command all the armies and legions of the underworld, I guess.
Well, he just figures that he'll be able to do that.
Oh, did he not actually do that?
No.
Oh, I thought...
He was fantasizing about a Ralph Bakshi Lord of the Rings movie in the middle of this one.
He was waxing poetic.
I thought that on the spot right there, because he had become immortal, he just summoned all the armies of hell.
Yeah.
No, I think that's just how his inner monologue looks.
Okay.
Because we do see it again later.
I do love how when you make your wish, the Dragon Balls float up into the air and then scatter in seven different directions. The four-star ball goes careening through the air and misses Goku's face by scant inches. He, in fact, almost got the Gohan.
The balls almost claim another. It just makes that more likely than ever. That is the case, because they do fucking cook.
It happened.
he was inches away from not having teeth. Or a back of the head.
It's real and it happens, and the only way you can be safe is if you buy my steel umbrellas, now on sale for $49.95.
From Capsule Corp.
Citizens of Dragon World.
Goku hops down to challenge them all, and Kami also shows up to lend a hand.
Just yeah, Kami.
Fucking key dive bombs the Hell Palace out of nowhere. Hi. Can you fight?
This movie is really metal. I can't lie to you. I'm very here for everything in this movie.
Garlic Sr. wanted to sit on the throne as Guardian of Earth, but he was passed up for Kami, and so now Garlic Jr. seeks revenge and to take his place.
You know, all he had to do was just purge his body of all evil and make a bad version of himself.
That's all you had to do.
Duh.
Now, I was actually curious about this. He makes reference to an entire backstory here that seems to, like, go back generations. Like,
yep.
Kami states that the person who was Guardian of Earth before him, which I didn't even know that was a thing, I thought he was just the Guardian of Earth, foresaw that this would happen and warned about it.
Yeah.
Like, is any of this covered in Dragon Ball?
Nope.
Huh. a lot of material there.
Yeah, it's all news to us.
There has to be fanfic of that. Of that period.
Goku runs into the castle to find Gohan, who they are not letting him have, because Garlic Jr. wants to train him, I guess.
Give me my son!
Give back your son!
But he is stopped by Ginger, Nikki, and Sancho. They cried their respective battle cries, which are gingerbread, tutti frutti, and cheese.
Excuse me, cheese.
Or if you had my VHS copy of the Ocean Dub, pepperoni.
My assumption is that those were their henshin belts activating.
Listen, if I had a henshin belt, I would fucking activate it by saying gingerbread or cheese.
That's not even the most ridiculous thing that a belt has said.
No.
Soda.
It does make a certain amount of sense, though, because it makes them all buff.
It does.
They do, in fact, henshin.
They do, in fact, henshin into buff boys. In the Japanese, they say fun different foods that are, like, related to the spice they are, basically. So ginger shouts shogayaki, which is grilled ginger pork. Cinnamon shouts nodoame, which is, like, a type of throat drop.
That translates to throat candy.
Yeah.
Just translating the word.
Also, he was screaming that line, which makes it even better. Probably needed one or two after that take. And Sancho shouts unaju, which is grilled eel rice. So, hey.
Let's all go out to dinner.
And shouting all these fun favorite foods makes them bigger and faster and stronger, too.
This has to be making Goku hungry.
That's what gives him that fighting spirit.
So now it's time for punches.
Yay, finally.
We have more or less reached the end of the plot.
Yeah.
The remainder is punches.
Take a load off, guys. It's fine.
They're good-looking punches.
They are. They're
doesn't
beautiful.
Make for the best podcasting.
No.
These are some good punches. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I would recommend you go look up the punches yourself.
I will give a huge shout-out to the animation for this whole movie, because it's so smooth, and the faces on these
just about to mention that.
Yeah. Are incredible.
The faces on the goblins, and like when Goku runs off to look for Gohan and leaves Kami to face Garlic Jr., just the zoom in on Kami's face, like right there, you can see every year of his long life just chiseled into that green face.
Count the rings.
And we're still in the period where everyone is kind of round. Design-wise.
Love that shit.
They're not as, like, pointy as the stuff that we're now getting to in the actual series.
It gets pointier from here on out. Yeah. I am always a huge fan of the early shit, where shit is more open, and it just looks nicer to me.
It's what's so exciting about the new movie coming up in January in the States, is that they are going back to that sort of design sense, and keeping everything a little looser. And it's everything I've seen is just fucking gorgeous.
It looks really pretty.
I saw some stills that looked like they had some real nice smears in there.
So after a bunch of punches, Nikki and Sancho try to beam Goku, but Krillin swings by to help out.
Hey, he gets a cool little theme.
Krillin shows up here in exactly the same fashion as though those bizarre, like, action hero Garfield fix.
Yeah.
One of the constant recurring tropes in those stories is that at the last minute, when things seem dire, John Arbuckle appears out of nowhere and yells the incomprehensible battle cry, Amaku, and then does something or other. And
sure.
I swear to God I expected Krillin to yell that here, because he shows up in exactly the same way.
They love to silhouette him as if we're not going to recognize Krillin.
Right.
Mysterious bald. This is mysterious anime Charlie Brown.
I mean, if anybody in the Dragon Ball universe is the John Arbuckle of the Dragon Ball universe.
This is that right there. That's actually going to be the very first thing from this podcast to go on my list of quotes that I keep in a Word document on my computer.
It's an honor.
Piccolo.
Fuck, did he get here?
He just followed the fucking Nimbus trail, I guess.
He ran real fast.
He's a great boy.
He's been doing track.
Piccolo joins the party as well. He just sort of walks in.
Hey.
Everybody squares up to start fighting, but something starts to drip on Krillin.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
He has to look up to see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We hinted this in episode one of Destructive Discourse.
Jay, you should do the honors, I think.
It is Gohan's first signature move, Wild Piss! As he sprinkles off the balcony onto Krillin's dumb head.
And directly into his mouth.
I I feel like Krillin's reaction to this is very understated.
Did Krillin really only kind of show up here just to, like, get peed on?
Yeah.
And also make sure Gohan's not in danger?
Do you think in the long run this is the first time it's happened?
I mean, I don't know if he would have met Gohan yet.
You know, he acts surprised in episode one of the show.
Yeah.
It could be he just blacked out this whole memory.
I'd rather not think about this.
I went to a hell castle and got peed on.
Is this actually worse than things that happened to Yamcha, like, demonstratively?
I don't know. I would rather get peed on than killed.
I suppose.
Given the choice between the two of them, I would not take the seasick crocodile. His name is Sencho.
We cut over briefly to Kami and Garlic Jr., who are also doing a Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit of a Yoda Dooku thing going on between the two of them.
It feels wrong to watch Kami fight. Is that weird to say?
I think that's part of the point.
It happens so infrequently.
Yeah.
You do forget that it is a possibility.
Yeah.
When they're fighting and Kami shoots I-beams at Garlic Jr., and when he dodges them, I love the way his little legs move, like a tiny dog's. Like he like kind of scrambles at the way of the... Yes, exactly. Goes...
like a bouncy immortal corgi.
Goku decides to leave Gohan in Krillin's care, and Krillin sort of scampers past Piccolo, because it's important to remember, nobody likes Piccolo yet.
All right, he's a bad guy.
They're all kind of skeeved out by him still.
Krillin is scared of Piccolo. Mm-hmm.
And also, like, weirdly reverent. Like, sorry, I hope I haven't inconvenienced you, sir.
Sancho tries to attack Krillin, but Piccolo sort of catches him from below.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what he does, but he sucks him down.
I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it.
Is this when Sancho says his very strange, kind of Yu-Gi-Oh-ish line?
What is that?
Oh.
Like, he confronts Piccolo, and Piccolo's like, yeah, you're a loser, and he says, you should never judge a fight on the first fall. Whatever that means.
I guess.
This is also the part where Piccolo says, I'm gonna make you pay through the eyes for what you did to me. What?
Oh, dear.
Maybe he means he's gonna use I-beams on him.
Is that, like, being made to pay through the nose? Did someone misunderstand, like, an American English...
I don't understand your Earth euphemisms.
Idiom.
I'll make you pay through the pointy ear... You don't have those? Okay. We'll have to...
Pay through the antenna.
Oh, I don't have those either.
Damn it. Pay through the regenerating weird muscle vein arm. No?
Make you pay through the knee pimples.
Oh, you're, Brenda.
You don't have those either? What kind of planet is this?
This is not a safe home.
But barbarians!
Piccolo finds out that these shitlords are no big deal when they're fighting one-on-one.
This is funny to me, because is that like the only recorded instance in the entire show of numbers mattering?
It might be.
Like, Piccolo talks like this is some sort of profound, you know, shameful weakness, that they combined their strengths against a greater opponent.
And came out victorious.
Yeah.
The Z Fighters learn how to pull the ads and dispatch them indiscreetly. They know how to conduct a proper raid.
Yep.
Yeah.
At least Piccolo does.
Yeah.
Goku is for sure Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah. Only he would get away with it. It would work.
Please. It's San Leroy.
San Leroy. Nikki and Ginger, fighting Goku, both yank blades out of their bodies.
Oh, this is dope. I love these sword-fighting goblin idiots. I love it. There's so much detail in this animation. Like, fucking Nikki's, like, flying forward, like, whipping the sword around back behind his back and around his arm.
They really grew on me over the course of the movie, these guys.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Speaking of things that we'll probably never see in the series again, like numbers mattering, Goku uses his stick.
Oh, yes. Power pole!
Love that.
I forgot about that.
Monkey King staff.
That might be the one and only time in a Dragon Ball Z context that the power pole is used. I don't remember the Japanese name.
I think it shows up in one other movie. It was either, but it's definitely one of the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's either Tree of Might or The World's Strongest.
Let's just assume it's Tree of Might.
Yeah.
Looked it up. It is World's Strongest.
Damn it.
That's so less, it's less canonical then, by default.
It makes it a... Wait, hang on. The power pole is called the Nyoibo, or Compliant Rod.
Oh.
That's or interesting.
More correctly, the staff that obeys one's will? I think that's what they were going for.
I mean, it is that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sticking with power pole.
That's truth in advertising.
He uses it in the first season, right? Is that where it came from?
He uses it a lot in Dragon Ball.
Right, yeah. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah.
In my head, show. Dragon Ball is always the first season.
The first season.
And Dragon Ball Z is season two.
The very long second season.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Goku shoots a Kamehameha. He ditches the pole. He shoots a Kamehameha, and it catches both Ginger and Nikki at once, and it wipes them both out.
Oh, snap.
No more minions.
You remember when, like, the Kamehameha was just a cute little laser to dispatch one or two people and not a planetary death cannon?
And not the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
That was Halcyon days that I wasn't actually there for.
But remember fondly. Kami prepares to blow himself up because his fight's not going very well.
Is he going to do a chiaotzu?
Yeah, I was about
He's
to gonna say.
He's going to do a chiaotzu. to stop Garlic Jr. Come here, little clown boy. You're going to want to know this one.
That's what a Looney Tunes ass move. He shows up with a halo and he goes, "Yeah, it's a great trick, but I can do it only once."
I don't know why he plans to do this, because Garlic Jr. is very clear in saying that he's immortal.
And Kami would know, if the dragon had done that.
I wonder if that's part of the Dragon Balls, is that he has to tell Kami, like, he has to narc on all the wishes. Like a Santa Claus thing. Kami's got a big old book of naughty people.
Pair of underwear? All right.
That's the first wish in 200 years?
The Earth has changed.
Goku and Piccolo step in together to save the old man. They're gonna team up for the first time ever. Old
Iconic.
Enemies are now friends. And Garlic Jr. transforms into a beef boy.
Yeah.
He gets very big and dark blue.
Mm.
And different pants.
Yeah, I noticed a serious problem in this bit.
Yeah.
When he's getting ready to transform, Goku yells that his power level is increasing. They didn't know the phrase power level at this point in history.
Shit, you're right.
They never met Saiyans. The fuck you trying to pull, Funimation?
Maybe he just accidentally stumbled on that phrase.
And then forgot about it because he's Goku.
Exactly. Like, he needed a way to say that he was getting stronger, and his, like, fighting spirit is getting bigger. What's a way to phrase that? Like, a power level.
It'll probably never catch on.
He's getting more Genki.
He's getting a lot of Genki.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
So many Genkis.
They do all of the punches at this point.
Yeah,
all the punches they know.
Just get all your punches in. Garlic Jr. tucks Gohan in for a rubble nap.
Yeah, the castle starts to fall down around them, and Krillin gets bonked on the head by, like, the whole goddamn ceiling.
Jesus! He's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
Makes that okay.
It was it was fortified by the Gohan key.
Sure.
It was coated in Saiyan genes.
They become... I don't even know how to finish that one.
They just solidify in the air.
They calcify.
Exactly, when they hit atmosphere. Goku and Piccolo are both getting their shit rocked.
Yeah.
So it's time to take off their weighted clothes.
Oh.
Off go the two little fivers.
There they go. Yep, I noticed them too.
And
we get treated to some old-style Dragon Ball music.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It is tasty.
Working together, they're able to push Garlic Jr. back. And they think that they've won.
Only problem is, there's a lot of dust showing up now.
Yeah.
And where there is a dust, there is a dust clearing.
They're not yet familiar with that phenomenon.
Mm-mm.
Thinking that they've won, it's time to punch each other again.
Yep, immediately.
Yeah, we're gonna do this now, I guess. All right.
I mean, they're already in the mood.
Mm-hmm.
They've already sort of, like, done the stretches.
Yeah.
It'd be a waste not to do it.
They've worked up their fighting pheromones.
Garlic gets so upset, he decides to rip open a portal to the dead zone. The titular dead zone.
Yeah, and as it starts destroying the entire castle, like, Goku and Piccolo are still trying to fight each other a little bit as the world starts to fall to pieces under
their
feet.
They're up on a crumbling bridge and they're still just punching each other.
Yeah. I feel like it's mostly Piccolo.
But... move aside Naruto and Sasuke. This is the rival battle that you need to see.
The dead zone begins to suck in everything around it.
Corrupted podcast data. Tangents.
For instance.
Wouldn't that be convenient?
Piccolo shoots a little beam, or like a little key ball, at Garlic Jr., thinking that that will do anything, and it doesn't.
It's really very sad. Piccolo deserves better than that moment.
So as everyone is clinging to rubble, trying not to get sucked into this portal, Gohan crawls out of the rubble, and he's having a bit of a fit. Just a little kid tantrum.
Someone get that kid an apple.
He needs a chill out apple.
Oh man, imagine if they had pitched an apple into Garlic Jr.'s mouth while he was what would have happened?
A more interesting movie.
What fucking Dodongo ass boss fight is this?
Well, no, yeah, Tyler, I'm gonna tell you right now what would have happened. A sequel.
Uh-huh. Gohan uses those dormant fuck-em-up powers that he's got. And this shouts Garlic Jr. into his own dead zone.
This is the original fuck-em-up Gohan, and it is the biggest ol' holler.
The platonic ideal of a fuck-em-up Gohan moment.
Yes. I could tell Gohan's voice actor is just really straining those pipes on that one. Like, there were some breaks here and there. That was a rough take.
Yeah.
But we don't really see the beam that kind of knocks him in.
It's just a shout.
It's like a shout, but like it has enough force to just completely swat him into the dead zone. I'm gonna name this move.
Sure. I'm sure the wiki has already, but...
Probably.
Well, I want to know what you have to say first, and then I'll see what the wiki has to say about it.
Mine is for sure better, because he's shouting daddy this whole time. Uh-huh. So I'm gonna call this move the Daddy Crusher. You shout daddy, and you crush your foes. Easy.
They don't seem to have a specific name for the move that is being described here, but they do have a name for the move he used to headbutt Raditz.
That has a name?
Yes, it's "Leave My Daddy Alone!" Exclamation mark.
See, I'm gonna say it's an alternate version of the Daddy Crusher.
Yeah, I'd say that the Daddy Crusher fits in pretty well in that company.
Yeah.
So Garlic Jr. is doing some silly little flips into his dead zone. He gets sucked up, and then it shatters out of the goddamn sky.
Okay.
Like it's a mirror.
Guess the sky broke.
This is actually the coolest thing that's ever happened.
It is a very cool looking thing.
Especially with what we see in the very last shot.
Yeah.
It's definitely how you answer the question, what happens if Vegeta or whoever gets that wish of immortality from the dragon? What do you do with that? Well, you just gotta chuck him into a space-time ever prison. Easy.
Yeah, that's the Kill 6 Billion Demons approach.
Kami explains that now Garlic Jr. is going to be trapped in that dead zone for eternity because he's got his immortality, so he cannot die. He's just stuck in there forever.
He's gonna be so hungry.
No apples.
No apples in there.
Not a single apple.
How can I get weird without my apples?
What is
you know
life?
Garlic Jr. needs to get weird.
What is life without being weird?
Gohan wakes up, but he doesn't remember anything that he did. He just remembers that his daddy is the strongest fighter in the whole world.
Aw, shucks.
Aw.
Goku decides he'll tell Chi-Chi about it when Gohan gets older.
Good thing that happens.
Because she probably won't believe him.
Luckily, Goku probably can't remember anything for longer than 5 minutes, so...
Yeah.
And the very last shot of this movie, we pan down into the ocean, and as the theme song kicks off, there's a shard of the dead zone, and we see an emaciated-looking Garlic Jr. who's just slamming on it, trapped.
What a horrifying image to go with such an uplifting credits theme.
Yeah, the worst thing. It's kind of amazing.
It.
Yeah.
And that concludes the first Dragon Ball Z movie.
I loved it, personally.
Yeah, it's real solid.
Plot-wise...
It's a light one.
It's fine. It's very straightforward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah.
It doesn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. The action scenes are fun. There's antics. There's musical number if you're listening to the Japanese version.
I mean, it's got that good classic A, B story structure.
Kinda.
The good two-act play.
Yep.
There. I was surprised at how short it was. I kept checking the runtime, saying, surely that can't be right.
Yeah, all of the films are only about an hour, maybe a little bit shorter, because usually they are paired up with some other movie in a double feature, has usually been the case.
This one brings in its running time at 42 minutes.
Nice and breezy.
Mm-hmm.
So now we know everything that we need to know about Garlic Jr. before we go into the filler saga with his name attached to it.
You could also have just watched the episode that we just watched last week, which does kind of cover the entire thing. Yeah.
Pretty succinctly. But you wouldn't know about Gohan getting weird.
Exactly.
It's very important.
You don't unlock Wild Piss. Unless you complete the prologue DLC.
Any other last thoughts on this movie?
Oh, I do have one last note. Mm-hmm. Which is that for a minute after it's all over, it seems like Piccolo wants to pick up where they left off and just keep fighting. But he sees Gohan and Goku, you know, loving each other as father and son. And he's just like, no, I can't interrupt Gohan's happiness.
One day that will be my son.
Yes. One day I will make him happy.
I'll make up for it later by blasting a hole through his father's chest.
That's what he would have wanted. By him, I mean Goku. Because that's definitely what Goku wanted.
The last thing that I wanted to talk about, I guess, is with a lot of these movies, the way that they work, like we mentioned, the way that they rework plot that's already happened, it makes it tough to kind of slot them into where in the timeline they would actually take place.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this one could work pretty easily. Like, there's some weirdness going on, but for the most part, this could happen between Dragon Ball and Raditz showing up.
Totally.
If everyone just forgot about it. like a week later.
Did.
Yep, for sure.
No, Gohan did. Goku can't remember anything for more than 5 minutes. And Krillin both got hit on the head and probably was eager to blot out the memory of being peed on.
Yes.
So. Yeah, he didn't want to share that story.
Yeah, exactly.
That won't help him get a girlfriend.
The only other strangeness is something that Aaron mentioned last time in that first episode. Garlic Jr. mentions that he was trapped in the dead zone for 10 years.
Yeah.
And 10 years does not lapse between now and then.
No.
Yeah.
Gohan is not 10 years older.
Right. I mean, do you think he can be relied upon to have his watch set in the dead zone?
I mean, without being able to get weird. With no apples. It would feel like 10 years, I think.
So, let's do a little bit of Hail Satan. It's going to be a little different, because we are going way back in time to even before the first episode of Dragon Ball Z. There is no Mr. Satan, there's no Hercule, there is only Mark.
Mark and Bacterian, presumably.
Mark and Bacterian.
Actually, this is how long before the first episode of Dragon Ball Z?
Could be months, could be hours.
Ah, okay.
Good point.
Hard to say.
I mean, so we start episode one of Hail Satan with Mark being recently divorced due to unspecified money trouble.
Yeah, do we specify them?
I was going to say, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, Jay. Do we go back to that formative event?
I think so.
Oh my god.
I think the money trouble involves Mark spending a lot of money on VHS Kung Fu instructional videos. Because he saw the World Martial Arts Tournament and he's like, that's what I want to do. I want to hold that belt.
He's got a dream to chase.
His college friend Bacterian knows a guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh god. What did Mark go to college for?
I think we said that he, like, the only thing we mentioned was that he played guitar, so maybe music.
I will say,
unless it was something like electrical engineering, and he just sucked at it.
I was gonna say he went in for business, which is why he's able to make such a brand out of himself so easily. he decided, and this is like not really a legitimate martial arts school he's doing. It's full on like Rex Kwando nonsense. And it's just, it's like, it's one of those things where you have to like shell out for belt upgrades.
6 easy payments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beelzebarbara, she's not having it.
What does Beelzebarbara do before turning to a life of crime?
She's an accountant.
She appears to be the breadwinner for her husband and baby daughter.
Being an accountant just makes it that much worse that her husband is having money trouble.
Yeah.
It also just strikes me as hilarious that someone with it, like a satanic theme like this is just an accountant.
My parents named me Beelzebarbara. I don't know why. They're weird.
It certainly seemed like it.
The master of my own fate.
So if she's an accountant, it's going to be important for us to designate about how good at math she is.
Well, she's not a Saiyan.
So fantastic.
Already in good shape.
Gold stars.
10s across the board, which is a number she knows how to count to.
Gold stars is the only math that the Saiyans know how to do. Is there one or not?
Are there stars on this Dragon Ball? 1, 2, 3.
Gohan. I like yours better. 1, 2, 3, Grandpa is how Goku counts. 100%.
What would the. Like, what? 1 Master Roshi, 2 Master Roshi, 3 Master Roshi. Thank you.
See, it's really tricky when he's building a house because he says, "Hey, Krillin, can you hand me that 2 by Grandpa?" It's really, really muddies up the process.
Mm-hmm. What is Videl's first word? We're probably going back further in time for that, but I'm just curious.
There's only one option, Tyler, and I'm a little disappointed that you haven't already thought of it.
Dynamite!
I think Beelzebarbara is angry about that, too.
Oh, probably. What about Gohan, though?
Gohan's first word?
We'll just do a baby book for the rest of this.
I'm into it. Gohan, baby! Just disembodied Goku. Disembodied Chi-Chi legs running around a nursery. His first word is fish. Because that's what Goku scares up from the river to try and feed Gohan as an infant.
That tracks.
It just lines the house.
Mm-hmm.
Wallpapered with fish scales.
Jason, did you pick out a 4-star reading?
Oh, I sure did, bud.
Oh, boy.
You're gonna love it.
How about you give us that 4-star reading?
Oh, I'd love to. We're gonna basically flip over to our little horoscope section, and based on a fictional birthday of a fictional character, we're going to read a real fortune.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. The subject of today's 4-star reading is Garlic Jr. We're basing this off of the debut of Dead Zone, which aired originally in theaters on July 15th, 1989, which would make him a Cancer. So, Garlic Jr., please take this reading to heart. Your ambition and drive to succeed may be at war with your inner feelings. Perhaps you've been working so hard that you aren't spending enough time with those who care for you, and they miss you. Children and young people may be on your mind today. It could be that you doubt your ability to fulfill your duties, or maybe you're just not ready for change. Be objective, and when considering the situation facing you today, don't let your emotions cloud your judgment.
Solid advice.
I think so.
Very good.
I'm sure he'll follow that in the years to come.
In the 10 long years to come?
Is that how long the season is?
Well.
Oh no.
Stay tuned for year 2 of Destructo Discourse.
This is our Dead Zone. I mean, really, I guess we kind of just got out of the Dead Zone, ironically.
Yeah. Just,
you know, 50 episodes of Goku playing Frieza.
Oh boy. That is its own dead zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The dead zone was inside us the whole time.
Oh, no.
Oh,
oh no.
Thank you all for listening to this special edition of Destructive Discourse. We will return to your regularly scheduled hit anime episodes next week.
Stay tuned for yeah. more Marin.
Oh, God.
Find out next time.
Until then, Dave, where can people find you around the internet?
Oh, I am at PSYTHE on Archive of Our Own still, and I have a project tangentially related to this podcast in the works that you'll be able to see on there soon that I'm very excited about.
I have had the privilege of seeing snippets of it, and it is a ride. For sure. Jason, how about you?
Well, sure. On the internet, you can find me at jcalves, that's J-A-Y-C-A-L-V-E-S, and you can find my Tumblr and my Twitter with that name.
And Melissa?
Hey, I'm on Twitter and Instagram and sometimes Tumblr at Kristaia, K-R-I-S-T-A-I-A.
And if you'd like to contact this show directly, there's a couple ways to go about that. We're on Twitter at Destructo_Disc, where you can see illustrated versions of Hail Satan or get updated about when new episodes go up. There's also a link there to join our fan Discord, which is the Destructo Discourse Discord, where you can see cool Photoshops and discuss elements of the show with us if you so choose. Mm-hmm. You can email us at destructodiscourse@gmail.com. Or you could try rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. And when you do that, please give us the Gohan.
Mm-hmm. Listen,
and if you've never listened to the show before, that means 4 stars.
4 stars, please. 4 stars careening at our face, but missing just slightly.
This has been Destructo Discourse, and we're just getting warmed up. Seem the same. The road ahead, you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, go fly away. Chala, chala, no time to hesitate, don't want to search the earth, but then it was a magic surprise. Get you through the night, oh Chala, hey Chala. No time to hesitate, don't search the earth. Within it by the magic surprise, oh Chala, hey Chala. Be cool, don't be afraid, you got the power to get you through the darkest night, Chala.
Up, 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 in heaven's skies, a whale is swimming through. Its spout shoots up and turns to rain. A storm cloud looks like a giant Shinto priest octopus too. The sun is surprised by it and cooks it all up. And the floating takoyaki gets eaten by a dinosaur. I feel good. I feel good. Somehow I feel really good. I feel good. I feel good. Somehow I feel really happy. I'm in a good mood, and I'm really smart. I can see all sorts of worlds. Even if I don't study at all, I can see wonderful worlds. I'm the world's greatest genius. Array, ray, rainbows, gems are 7 colored candies. They melt into the ground and turn into flowers. The earth starts to dance and the volcano starts to sing. Eruption of doom.
blooming into big fireworks. And those fields of flower light spread to the ends of the universe. I feel good. I feel good. Somehow I feel really good. I feel good. I feel good. Somehow I feel really happy. I'm in a really good mood. And there's nothing but happiness in the world. I'm in love with everything. And there's nothing but joy in the world. I'm the world's happiest person. I am the world's greatest genius.